Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's your program. This program is designed around you, our listeners. It's on the Q&A format. You can ask the questions. We give the answers. You can join into the dialogue and discussion, asking your questions at any point during the next hour's broadcast. May I remind you that you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets your call right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question and comment. We always love to have your comment. I love to hear from you, our listening audience, as to your thoughts and opinions and your philosophies on what we're saying, whether it's beneficial, whether it is that which is educational and or inspirational and challenging to us. We try to design the program each day so that it's a challenge, that we might recognize what the Word of God says and mirror that in what is found in life and living with the issues that we're faced with. As we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so from a biblical worldview. I pray that you're understanding a little more each day what I'm speaking of when I say a biblical worldview. A lot of people make choices and decisions based on the rites, rules, rituals, and regulations of some denominational dogma. Others make decisions on how to handle problems and issues based on some ideological bent by political persuasion. But I think the best thing to do is go back to the basics of what does the Word of God say. What does God's Word tell us? God's Word is truth. How do we know that? Jesus said so. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. He had already told his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. So, ladies and gentlemen, we don't find freedom. It's an impossibility to find freedom outside the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called truth. The Bible is truth. The Word of God is truth. So, therefore, we need to seek what God says in relationship to the issue or problem that we're faced with each day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to say to you and announce to you today that this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda generators. They also have a full staff of knowledgeable people that can explain to you how to use power equipment, power generators, backup equipment, especially during the hurricane season. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Tools for Time, be found at the very intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. 11291 is the address. Or you can look them up, toolsfortime.com. That's toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. That telephone number to reach us is 831-0917. We're talking about an issue today that I think is vital for us to understand. I think that so often when it comes to parents and grandparents and what we're doing in the educational system today, that so often there's the mindset that, well, we went to public school and our parents went to public school, and so therefore public school is the same and it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, public school today is a major change, has changed majorly since we were in school. Now, I know that some of you are thinking, well, when did you go to school? It was less than 100 years ago. And I can recall in school, we had the privilege of memorizing scripture verses every day. We'd stand and recite them before the class in a public schoolroom. We'd pledge to the flag. We would have the Bible assignments. We would have the privilege of standing and praying. In fact, the teacher would call on a different student each day to lead in prayer. Now, that's unheard of in today's modern, enlightened, educated society. But, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that academics have plummeted across the nation since 1966 to 1 and 62. God was taken out of the classroom. The Bible was banned in the classroom. Prayer was banned in the classroom. And we have suffered the consequences of banning God and removing God from the public classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about today that we need to save our children. How do you do that? Pull them out of public school. Pull them out of the public school. Let me just give you a little tidbit. You know, there's been a raging battle here in Jacksonville the past several months where there's a push to add a half-cent sales tax onto your present sales tax burden, add a half-cent for the proposed purpose of repairing schools, building schools, and making the quality of education better, as they're calling it. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go back to the fundamentals of the origin of the schoolhouse, the Little Red Schoolhouse, as it used to be called, when the public educational system was introduced, two things. Number one, it was paid for by the local taxpayers. There wasn't a tax for it. The merchants would supply the location, the facilities. The citizens that had the academic credentials would volunteer to teach. They would use the Bible as the main textbook to teach reading and to teach writing and to teach the truth of the Word of God. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, you go back and you study, our founding fathers and the majority of those coming after them just a few years, their junior high and high school, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. 5th grade then, listen carefully, if you don't believe this, research it. 5th grade then was equivalent to the first year in college today as far as the academic qualifications and skills and abilities. We have plummeted today to simply having a system of brainwashing our children. So that's what we want to talk about today, is saving our children. Pull them out of the public schools. Our public school system was originally designed to teach academics to our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren. Today, our schools are controlled by the socialist agenda. Let me just tuck in another little thought. At your leisure, go online and research the National Educational Association. National Educational Association. Pull up their website. They meet every June, maybe still June. I think it's June of each year that they meet. Analyze what their agenda is and what it has been for the last several years. I will dare to say that you will not find an aspect of that agenda schedule for the National Educational Association and the Teachers Union of America. You will not find anything, if at all, it'll be minuscule, that will talk about academics. The last couple of years, their major focus has been on how do we get more LGBTQ teachers in the classroom? How do we skate by and teach abortion on demand? How do we skate by and teach the transgender lifestyle? How do we get that in the classroom? And what guys can we use to get it in the classroom? That's the major focus. That's the major focus. Check it out. See what I'm telling you. Our schools no longer focus on academic process. Contrary-wise, ladies and gentlemen, the focus is on the social agenda of social change. And our public schools today, from kindergarten through 12th grade and beyond, focus on brainwashing of our children. Now, I want to tell you, I'm speaking to you from a biblical bias. Speaking to you because the Bible says in Psalms 127 and verse 3 that our children are a heritage from the Lord. I'm speaking to you because God's Word says that we're all created in the image of God and each one of us has value before God. And yet we find in the public school classroom today, in the public school system, the agenda is not focusing on what the public schools are for. And yet we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars on a national level every year to supposedly teach little Johnny and little Susie how to read and write, and they're not learning how to read and write. On an international level, America is the lowest on things like math and reading and science and many other skills. If it's not last, it is near it on an international scale. And yet that was not where we were in America in the 40s, 50s, and early 60s. Once we took Jesus out of the classroom, once we took the Bible out of the classroom, once we rejected reading the scripture and praying in the classroom, we literally surrendered the classroom to the loose, lax, lost liberals, as I call it, the socialist Democrats of today that want to destroy your child and our grandkids. And they want to do so because they're trying to recruit them for the socialist agenda and for the secularized agenda with the sexual promiscuity and the LGBTQ mindset. Listen very carefully. I'm going to quickly walk through what I call 10 points of what you find in the brainwashing process in our public schools today. If you're where you can, jot some of them down. If you're not, remember some of them. If you have some parents that you think need to hear this, pick up the phone quickly and dial their number and tell them to tune in to the broadcast today. I'm going to go through quickly what I call the 10-point agenda of brainwashing the children in the classroom. Number one, U.S. history is no longer real history. U.S. history is a modified version of real history. I dare you to find, and I'm going to say from the fifth grade up, to find a history book, fifth grade up, in any American classroom, and I will show you where true American history is simply not there. There will be major focuses on the history of some of the major, as they call them, homosexual or gay leaders in America, and they place them in history. They will go back and talk about the history of the Indian and how we've beaten up on them and we've stolen their property. They'll talk about the history of America and how it really is an agenda of America to destroy anything other than a white man. They have modified and so watered down U.S. history that it is no longer U.S. history. In the history books, there's more about Islam than about any of our founding fathers. George Washington is barely mentioned in the majority of the history books in the classrooms in our schools today. We're talking about the agenda of brainwashing our students today. We're talking about today, save our children, pull them out of the public school classroom. U.S. history is no longer real history. Number two, the LGBTQ agenda is forced upon our children. It came years ago, and I don't know, back in the early to mid-80s, where there started to be a push across America to teach sex education in the classroom. Well, it's under the banner of sex education today, where the LGBTQ, sodomite, perverted, pedophile lifestyle is now in full control of the textbooks in America through the LGBTQ agenda and the agenda of the Planned Parenthood. You'll find they're force-feeding our children, if I can use that term, an agenda that is immoral, ungodly, and unholy. It is destroying the morals and the ethics and the values of our sons and daughters and our grandkids in the public school classroom. Abortion from conception to delivery is advocated and taught in our classrooms. Number four, Planned Parenthood and the LGBTQ agenda provides much of today's curriculum written and published by the LGBTQ leadership and the Planned Parenthood. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe that so, research it. I'm telling you what we're finding today is not an academic system called the public school system. And I'm reminded of this because there's been such a push locally and such a threat and a demand as of last night in the city council meeting, where there was such a hoopla that they had to clear the council chambers in order for the council members to be able to communicate and talk because of screaming and hollering and carrying on. And it was out of those that were present that were pushing and demanding that our city council go ahead and put it on the ballot to approve a half-cent sales tax. Ladies and gentlemen, if you could see how the money is spent right now in Duval County from kindergarten through high school, it's an average of almost $13,000 per student. Almost $13,000 per student. Already the school board has the taxing authority, and if you'll look at, and it has to be approved by city council, I understand, but if you look at your annual tax bill and your property taxes and look at the, if I could use the term humongous, the gigantic amount that's being paid for each property owner, for property taxes. We're already funding a mega, hundreds of millions of dollar budget in Duval County alone. And ladies and gentlemen, this is across America. This is in county after county and state after state across our nation today, where the parents, the families are being burdened with heavy taxes to brainwash our sons and daughters and grandkids. Ladies and gentlemen, today, Islamic studies are now required, even to the point of having prayer rugs for our students to fall down on and pray to Allah. Recital of the Islamic Shahida, which is the conversion prayer, are required in most classrooms today under the guise of history. We find today, ladies and gentlemen, that the role-playing of the children in the classroom, where they will make up, put on, and robe up as Islamic jihadists, and yet Jesus Christ is omitted in the classroom. Prayer is banned in the classroom. The Bible is not allowed in the classroom. We need to put the Bible back in our classrooms. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a bill last year in the Florida House that would have put Bible back in the classroom. It was locked up in committees and subcommittees, not by the loose, lax, lost liberal Democrats, though they didn't want it, but by our so-called conservative Republicans. I am appalled by it, and I'm prayerful that some of our leadership in Washington and Tallahassee will again reintroduce the bill. You know, the legislative session begins in January of this year in Tallahassee, not in March. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be in prayer that we will have this bill again, give an opportunity for it to be passed to put Bible back in the classroom. I know there's some that say they don't want Bible in the classroom because who will be teaching it? Well, it's my desire and my prayer, if we put Bible back in the classroom legislatively, that we'll have pastors in America, and especially in the state of Florida, that would volunteer to teach it in the classrooms, not for pay, but for the praise of God and the Christian families. Number six, may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the things that are being advocated and being pushed in the brainwashed of our students in the public school classrooms. The sodomites and the transsexuals and the pedophiles are having a drag queen story time in our classrooms in the public schools and in the libraries being paid for by taxpayers in our schools, even from kindergarten and up, all at the expense of moms and dads and brothers and sisters and those that are working, paying property tax and sales tax. Number seven, ladies and gentlemen, all public schools allow the gender-confused boys to go into the girls' locker rooms, dressing rooms, shower rooms, and restrooms. Now, that is the policy. Listen, it is the policy in 99.99%, if not 100% of the schools across America today, from kindergarten through high school, and yes, even in the colleges and the universities. And right here in Jacksonville, in Duval County, Dr. Green, the superintendent of schools, reminded, after they suspended or fired two teachers, and we'll talk about that in a minute, reminded those teachers that it is still Duval County policy that a boy that is sexually confused and thinks he's a girl can go into the girl's bathroom. A boy, male child, male student that is has sexual dysphoria can go into the girl's locker room and shower room. And a boy that is confused about his sexuality can still insist on playing on the girl's sports team and vice versa. That's the policy here in Duval County, in the Duval County schools. And I would be willing to say that most listening to my voice today did not know that. Check up. Go online and look at the policy for transsexuals, homosexuals, the LGBTQ sexually confused students in Duval County Public Schools. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, across America, according to the Pew Research poll and according to the CDC, we have less than 2% of all Americans that say that they fall into the category of the homosexual, transsexual, transgender, gender-confused area of community in America. And now, I've heard the argument by the sodomites in Duval County that it's probably 15-20%. That's just an absolute lie. That's a lie. And they use those lies to bamboozle, if I can use that term, some of our politicians to get things like the HRO, the Human Rights Ordinances, passed. The Bible calls them a reprobate, so I call it a human reprobate ordinance. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the 10 major things that's taking place in the public schools today that we need to understand why it is so needful for moral, ethical conservatives, especially as Christians, to pull their students out of the public school system. Teachers are forbidden to use him or her, he or she pronouns in the classroom. I'm appalled by that. Here's an article that says, "I will not refer to you with female pronouns," a Duval County teacher snubs transgender students' request. Dateline Jacksonville, Florida. Most high school students approach the new year with some trepidation, but one Sandalwood High School student may have more reason than most. An email exchange obtained from First Coast News shows a teacher refusing the student's request to be referred to by her chosen gender identity. The teacher calls the request a deal breaker. Quote, "I will not refer to you with female pronouns," teacher Thomas Cagneo wrote. "If this is not acceptable to you, change classes," quote, end quote. Quote again, "I will call you by any reasonable name you like," he continued, "but the pronouns are not a negotiable thing for me." When notified about this exchange, Sandalwood principal Sarah Hatcher promised to handle it. "Thank you for the feedback," Hatcher wrote in an email. "Please know that Sandalwood is a child-friendly school. Your wishes will be honored." Ladies and gentlemen, since when do we have the students in control of the classroom? Since when, by the way, this student, this teacher, was suspended from a teaching position because of a sexually confused student demanding to be called by a feminine pronoun when that was not the case of gender at all? And the teacher was correct. Let me say that. The teacher was correct. I am adamantly opposed to a secularized, sexually scandalous position in America today. I am totally adamantly opposed to that trickling down to the classroom and become more dominant than anything called academics in the school system. Here's an article today, ladies and gentlemen, says school just started, yet two people are already in trouble. They're teachers. Two Jacksonville teachers have landed themselves in hot water. One refused to call a transgender student by her requested pronoun when the other scolded students for not standing for the national anthem. It seems the teachers are the ones being called into the principal's office today in our public schools. Classes began in Jacksonville on Monday, and already two faculty members are in trouble. According to the reports, one teacher refused to call a transgender student by her requested pronoun, and another criticized his class for not standing for the national anthem. And he goes on to talk about what happened. And ladies and gentlemen, both of those teachers were summarily discharged. Here's further in this article. A district policy guide states, listen, this is for the school district here in Jacksonville. A district policy guide states that school staff must use pronouns and names consistent with the transgendered students' gender identity. Additionally, schools are required to allow transgender students to use restrooms and participate in athletics associated with their gender identity. Florida statute alone, along with the county's code of student conduct, says students can opt out of reciting the pledge with parental consent. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't know that. I didn't know that a student could stand and say, I'm not going to pledge to my flag, American flag. According to the school district, the teacher was counseled, and the rest of the Sandalwood faculty will receive additional training. It was not clear if the teacher will face any additional discipline. Sandalwood officials declined to comment. An investigation into the First Coast High School teacher's conduct is ongoing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's horrible when we think about an academic system that will basically send the teacher to the principal's office to be disciplined rather than a student for doing something that is wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us today that we have a problem. Here's an article that sets the stage a little more clearly to where we want to go in this broadcast. We're talking about saving our children. Ladies and gentlemen, have a responsibility to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not have departed from it. Proverbs 22:6. God charges the parent with the responsibility of discipline of that child. But yet we send our children off, sons and daughters and grandkids off, to the public school system thinking that they're safe there. And perhaps in today's society, it is the most unsafe venue that you could place them in. Not from the standpoint of bullets and bears, as I'd call it, But from the standpoint of their morals and ethics and values, the very core thing that makes that child worth something in the sight of any human being in relationship to what we're doing and serving the Lord, that's taken away. The innocence is removed. And they're shown pornographic films. They're shown books and reading material that distort and destroy anything that's called human sexuality from a biblical standpoint. Here's an article that says, 11 public school systems in Florida have formally integrated the LGBTQ agenda, whatever agenda it might mean, daily into their activities on a daily basis. This open and destructive action places our children, our families, and our future in peril. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, was asked recently what a Christian family was to do in circumstances like that. His answer, listen. Franklin Graham said, "Oh, absolutely. Pull them out of the public school. Put them in private schools. But we can't fight. But we can fight. And what I mean by fight is by writing into your legislators letters, you know, how you letting them know how you feel. Organizing a march on your state capitol. And that gets the attention of these legislators when they will show up with 10,000 people at the state capitol that makes the difference, makes the decisions." Bev Kilmer, K-I-L-M-E-R, is an accomplished former state legislator. She has an organization called Freedom Speaks. And she's traveling this nation encouraging parents to take their children out of the public school system. Bev's plan is to mount the statewide campaign calling for a carrying out of the exodus from the schools. She says, and I quote, "We must get our children out of these public school systems that are attacking our rights as parents to raise our children based on the authority of the Word of God." Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble when we analyze what's happening in the public school system. And we need to pull our children, our sons and our daughters, out of the public school system. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, "Ohio's sixth grader punished for saying gender-confused friend is a boy and not a girl." Dateline August the 14th, 2019, Ohio. A sixth grade Ohio boy was pulled out of the gym class in front of his classmates and vilified the day after his art teacher overheard him telling three girls, his friends, who were in transitioning to girls. Two girls. Three girls, his friend, who were transitioning to girls. He says, "It's a boy. They're not a girl." The 11-year-old had been warned by the assistant principal earlier in May on that morning that there might be consequences by asserting his friend is a boy and referring to him with male pronouns. "You can have your own beliefs," he was told, "but his friend wants to be called a girl." So the student was reprimanded. The Florida-based religious liberty law firm Liberty Council threatened legal action over the incident in July. And the article goes further. It's about five pages talking about the horrific thing that's damaging now that young lad, because he's been chided and challenged and punished and demeaned publicly because he says to a girl that wants to be a boy that you're a girl, you're not a boy, and uses the female pronoun rather than a male. It's trickled down to the point, ladies and gentlemen, where our sons and daughters and grandkids in the public school are in an incubator where there's social change and the modification of mindsets and the destruction of morals and ethics and values that ought not to be so. We need to pull our children out, pull the grandkids out, take the children out of the public school system, homeschool them if nothing else. I've said for many, many years, I'd rather have a son or a daughter grow up to be an ignoramus, if I can use that term, than have them destroyed morally and ethically and spiritually as a result of being in the school. Ladies and gentlemen, we got about 1 minute. We'll have station identification and news break. Hang on. Don't change your dial. Be right back after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.